Hey guys, welcome to Crossroads. We are so glad you're with us. You know, we are one church in multiple locations, so much so you could be joining us from California, Columbus, Ohio, Atlanta, Georgia. No matter where you are, we're glad you're here. And I want you to know that there's a resource for your kids. If you've got kiddos in your family, on live.crossroads.net, there's a little button you can click for experiences just for your kids. And I'd love for you to try those this weekend and give me some feedback. So we're going to get started. Turn up the volume. Have a great weekend.
Everybody, great to have you here. My name's Robbie. We're going to kick our time off together by singing and telling God that we want Him as a part of our journey. So why don't you guys stand up and sing this with us. In a world that's weak and passive.
In a world that's weak and passive, searching for a place to stand. A thousand different voices shouting.
Don't live in fear. Your God's not there.
strong, take courage. Don't live in fear. Your God's not distant. Your words He'll hear.
Why don't you guys have a seat just for a second, all right? So, have you ever wondered why we start most of our services like this? This 15 to 20 minutes in the dark, where we fire up the lights and we turn on the smoke machines and guitars get really loud, and it's like this little bubble in here, and we sing to someone we can't see. We sing about brokenness that we would never talk to anybody else about. And then we say we need a savior. We need a hero. Right? That's, by any standard, that's a little weird. Let me tell you, this thing that we're doing, in modern day, we would say, yeah, this is worship. This is a time. Worship is simply just ascribing value to something else. So in this context, these 20 minutes, we're ascribing value to God. We're saying, hey, we think we need you more in our lives. But it doesn't just happen here. We don't just ascribe value in here. It happens everywhere. I mean, look at the songs that are all on the radio. They all ascribe value to something. You know, every song is ascribing value to, like, a friendship, a relationship, a person, sex, status, all of these things. And some of them are really great, you know? Like, Your Body is a Wonderland. I think that's a wonderful song for me and my wife. You know, these things, they ascribe value because here's why. Because you and I were designed to do just that. We were designed to ascribe value. And in our modern day world, we find a lot of ways to ascribe value to ourselves or to other heroes we see. Confession, I'm not a sports guy. I don't do the sports things. People offer free tickets and I'm like, is there free food involved in this box seat? Because no, then I won't go, you know? But I do love sporting events for this reason, because it is the closest thing to this thing that we're doing right now. It's a group of people coming together just to say, this is our team, we believe in them. Our team is going to crush your team. That guy right there is gonna crush your guy. Our guy's the best. That's a worship service right there. That's the thing. But here's what I found in my life, is that when I ascribe value to man-made things, they let me down. They can't withstand the weight of that value I'm ascribing them. So if it's politics, it's gonna let me down. If it's sports, it's gonna let me down. That's probably why I'm not a Bengals fan. You know, we all have these... someone told me to say that. I don't know what that means. But in this whole deal, like, we have the opportunity to say, what am I going to do with my time? You know, when this church actually worships, things start to change. It looks like a community with less divorce. It looks like a community with more people becoming freed from heroin. It looks like more people getting out of debt. It looks like more people understanding that their lives weren't wasted, that God can redeem those wasted years. That's what happens when we ascribe value to God. So, we have 20 minutes here, and when we leave here, we have another 10,060 minutes that we have the opportunity to choose to add value, to worship God with our work, with our play, with our relationships. And so what I want us to do right now, I want us to take a moment to consider how we use our minutes. How we use our minutes. So do this for me. Close your eyes. God, would you, and I'm just going to pray for us. God, would you help us to see how we use our minutes and how maybe we could use our minutes differently to glorify you, to glorify you in ways that maybe we didn't think we could do before. Why don't you guys stand up? We're going to sing the song, Whatever Pleases You. And as we sing this, just allow those thoughts, and God maybe to spark something in you to say, hey, I want to use these minutes like this. Whatever pleases you will be our path. We're trading what we have for what we'll have. pleases you will be our path. Let's do that again. Whatever pleases.
Whatever pleases you will be our path. Trading what we have for what we'll last. We'll seek your face and not your hands. Whatever pleases you will be our path.
And when you call us out to the unknown, to the unknown, uncertain, we will call to mind your ageless faithfulness to your people, your creation. We will look to you, the author of our lives.
Here we go.
Whatever pleases you will be our path. Call us out to the unknown, uncertain. We will call to mind your ageless faithfulness to your people, your creation. We will look to you, the author of our lives.
Whatever pleases you will be our path. We have for what will last. We will seek your face and not your path. Whatever pleases you will be our path.
When we cannot see just where the road will lead, we are empty and we are broken. When the enemy is strong and there seems nowhere to run, we will trust you, you are with us.
You guys get this. We will look.
Whatever pleases you will be our path.
So that we know who you are and that we could know who you've made us to be. And it's my prayer that as we leave this place, that our minutes and our week would change, and that you would receive more glory because we're choosing things that are in line with your heart more than our own preferences. Thanks, guys. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for singing along. So good to get to worship with you. Yeah, you can clap for that. That's super. So I want to tell you one more thing. So we make music not because we just like music, but because it helps us say the things that we need to say to God. And it helps us to remember the things that he says to us. So we've been working on a project for a while, and we have just a little pre-release. We'd love for you guys to get in your pockets, not just to like drive around in your car, but to be a tool for you to use when you're making these decisions with every minute. So we recorded the song Whatever Pleases You, and it's a free download from the website crossroads.net/worship. We'd love for you guys to get that, and know that there's a little bit more coming in just a couple months, so check it out. And while you're sitting down, say hi to somebody, meet somebody new.
Well, there's been a lot happening here around Crossroads over this summertime, and many of us who are part of Crossroads were in a Crossroads. We made commitments to the I'm In campaign. For those of us who were in a Crossroads, we made commitments above and beyond. We regularly give for 3 years, and we've been doing crazy projects, looking for crazy things. And one of the unique things God has been doing in our midst is finding that there's power that happens when we get outside of our normal environments, outside into the woods. We found man camp, woman camp to be huge. Do I have any man camp or woman camp alumni in the house? To be hugely profitable for going to a new place with God and really getting in touch with what he wants out of the rest of our lives. And we've known that we've been looking for a permanent place to have things like man camp and like woman camp. Yes, we have. On Friday, we closed on 435 acres of that exact land. All that imagery is that exact land. We took a drone, the power of drones, crazy stuff. It is in a place in Ohio called Neville, Ohio. If you've ever been there, just right down the river from Cincinnati. And that property actually looks like this. The property boundaries, if you want to take a look at them, they look like this. It is just an amazing thing. It's huge. It's really huge. So to talk about the next step, what could happen on that property, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to our hosts. We're going to talk about that right now.
Camp Land. I'm pumped. I'm a man camp veteran. I got to go a couple months ago. It's an incredible experience. I'm so excited that having dedicated land is going to let us have more and more of these camp experiences for more and more people. We have man and woman camp coming up this fall. If you're interested,
you can go to crossroads.net/mancamp, learn more about the October Man Camp that's coming up. Sign ups on August 8th, find out what time, what you'd need to bring, the whole scoop on Man Camp. Do not miss out on this opportunity to go to Man Camp. Woman Camp, same deal. We've done one of these. It was completely sold out. We've had people drive hundreds of miles to come to these camp experiences. If you're interested in Women Camp, you can go to crossroads.net/womencamp. You can sign up to be on a waiting list. There's people who are on a waiting list for the October Women Camp. We're planning one in May. You can go get on the waiting list and have an opportunity to be at that May Women Camp. These are things that you are not going to want to miss. Another upcoming opportunity for all of us is the second annual Unpolished Conference. So the Unpolished Conference is an opportunity for anybody, small business owners, entrepreneurs, creative folks, anybody who loves the culture of being a part of making new things and sort of pushing culture forward. We're going to have an opportunity to hear from highly inspiring people, people like Todd Henry, Rourke Denver, Jeremy Cowart. We're going to have breakouts for the first time this year, highly applicable breakouts, practical learnings that we're going to be able to put in place in our professional, our personal lives the day after the conference. So this is not to be missed. This is a thing to invite all your friends to. You go to get tickets and more information at unpolishedconference.com, and prices for those tickets are going to go up in August and continue to as we get closer to the conference. So don't wait any longer. Go ahead and get your tickets now. We want every weekend for there to be opportunities for all of us to grow together, not unlike a conference, not unlike a camp, but every weekend in our normal lives, in our neighborhoods with the people that we see all the time. And so I want to invite you into an opportunity to become a Crossroads Anywhere host. So it sounds really official, but it's actually super simple. It means you open up your house and you make your living room, your home, available to people to gather together and attend Crossroads every weekend together. It's an awesome experience. And totally beats just sort of sitting on your own wondering if there's people in other houses in your neighborhood doing the same thing as you. Come be in one living room together. There's over 100 of these homes all across the country who've been doing this, and incredible stories, meeting people, chance encounters, total life change that's been happening around this. And so I'd love for you to be a part of it. Maybe you're already doing it. You could just let us know. Either way, there's a button on live.crossroads.net that says become a Crossroads Anywhere host. Click that button, fill out that form. We want to equip you to have a great week experience. And so we'll be in touch. We'll give you everything you need so you can do that. And we get excited about all this stuff, how we watch the weekend, how we are part of communities. All of it is fueled by the everyday investment and generosity of people from all over the country. And so every week around here, we have a team rhythm of being generous. And if you're brand new and you're just checking us out, we seriously are not interested in your money. You're welcome to be generous, but that's not an expectation we have of you. We just hope today blesses you and you get something out of it. This is why we do this. And so for those of us who are on the team though and have experienced life change and want to see it continue, we invest. crossroads.net/give. We can do a one-time gift, a reoccurring gift, and set up that rhythm of generosity in our lives. While we do that, we're going to hear a story from my friend Rusty, whose life was totally changed through a Man Camp experience he had a couple of years ago.
My parents divorced when I was really young, and I was involved in his life, and he was involved in mine, but my dad was always way better at being like a friend that I hung out with every other week and for some months in the summertime than like a father. My relationship with God grew probably in tandem with Wolfpack and then going to the first Man Camp. Brian made a call and was like, there are some people in here who have like been moved, who have been touched by the Holy Spirit for the first time in their lives. And if that's you, raise your hand. And I remember just kind of like looking around, and then suddenly like a bunch of, like all the dudes around me just like put their hand on me. And I realized like I was raising my hand. I was that guy that was like, yes, like that's me. I was just broken. God was there, and he was one of those guys. I knew from the first Man Camp that my role was to lead my family. I wanted better clarity as what that meant. How do I lead? So at Man Camp 2, I was baptized. And that moment was when I got this like look of clarity that's like, you're going to mess up a lot, and you're going to learn a lot of things in the next 9 months. And on the other side of that, you're going to have a role in your family that you have never seen before. It's given me the ability to look at other men who are where I was a year ago and go, let's go on a walk. Like let's talk through this. Let's see what you're struggling with and where you're going, and let me tell you what I did. I was out in San Francisco for a conference, and I went into this sushi place, and I just sat at the bar because it was what was open. And there was a guy sitting next to me who had been in there for a little bit. About halfway through my meal, he actually knocked his beer over, spilled all in my lap. And I pulled my phone out of my pocket to keep it from getting ruined, and out with it came my man camp coin that I got. So we got to talking about it a little bit, and I was like, oh, actually, it's a coin that I got from a camp that I went to that was sponsored by my church. He was just quiet and somber for a second, and then was just like, well, I don't know what to do with my life. I'm engaged to a woman, we've been engaged for a while, and I live in the city, and I leave my job at the end of the day, and I go out, and I always eat food out at the end of the day, and I'm sitting in this bar, and I look around, and I go, which one of these girls can I take home with me tonight? So actually, right there, like, over a fresh set of beer, and with him holding my man camp coin, I walked him through the five marks of manhood. And it really kind of was an eye-opener for him to understand that you can lead while being in submission. They had dated for more than 10 years. They had been engaged for 4. And less than a week later, Wednesday morning, he was convicted to get married. And as soon as that happened, as soon as he made that decision, they were married within 2 hours. I believe that our God is going to literally go to the ends of the earth, giving everybody, you know, his relationship. And the cool part is seeing how he does that.
So you go out of town for a few weeks, and they stick you on the B stage. It's like, we'll put you over there where the freak show is. My word. So, hey, I'm excited to talk about you can't say that in church. You can't say that in church. Well, I hear that fairly frequently around here at Crossroads, and I want to explain some things about it. I remember when I was a little kid coming back from church in my parents' car. It was probably 1971 or so. I remember my parents just talking about, oh my goodness, they said the word divorce in church. In 1971, you can't say the word divorce in church. No way. You can't say that in church. And there's still all kinds of rules that we have for that today. If you're in a predominantly Republican church, you can't speak positively of Democrat ideals. If you're in a predominantly Democratic church, you can't speak positively in any way, shape, or form of Republican ideals. If you're in a predominantly white church or predominantly black church, there's certain things you can or can't say. Chuck Mingo and I were on stage a few months ago, and we both got it. Like, a white guy can't say that. A black guy can't say that. There's all kinds of things that we think you can't say in church. And the real light bulb came on for me when I realized that I was interacting with real people in the real world. And when I would talk to them about God, my friends who I play basketball with, I talked to them entirely different than I would talk if I was on a stage preaching someplace. And I realized this isn't right. I should be able to talk the same way on the basketball court. God's okay with how I talk there as I do on stage, the same way on my back deck as I would at a restaurant place or as I would in a Sunday school class, the same thing through and through. However, there's appropriate accentuations we might want to make in our tone or in our illustrations. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20, it says this: to the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people. This is Paul, who penned much of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and started churches that all of us have been impacted by today in history. And what he's saying is, I accentuate who I naturally am when I'm with certain people to be able to reach them and connect with them. And unfortunately, in the history of American Christianity, we've accentuated our churchiness inside of churches, and we've maybe accentuated our normalness, outside of church, and that's part of the reason why America has had a declining positive influence by the church. A couple weeks ago, or however long ago it was, we had a number of fun things that took place. We had a sex therapist on stage. She was awesome. She was great. She talked about Swedish cars. It made me a little uncomfortable. I didn't even know some of the terms she was talking about. And then And then about a week or so later, I said strategically, it was a strategic mention. I'm going to say it again because I want to intentionally poke the bear because some of you are bothered that I say it. So therefore, I'm going to say it again. I mentioned having spontaneous, unprotected sex with my wife on the Ohio River, and it was awesome. It was great. And people said, well, you can't say that in church. Because it was intentionally spoken of because I noticed in our society we believe all kinds of lies. One of the lies that we believe is the longer you're married, the less freedom you have. That's a lie. One of the lies we believe is the longer you're married, the less often you have sex. Not true in our case and in many couples I know. The longer you've been married, or if you're married, you're going to lose credit. It's just not true. And God hasn't designed sex to operate that way. And I strategically and specifically wanted to mention that. And my goodness, people just got freaked out. Man, I don't know why you get freaked out about that. The FDA has come out with a new drug that you might want to look into. It could work for you. I think we have a scan of that drug. It's called Groset. Seriously, you just need to lighten up. You need to lighten up. You might not like all the sense of humor that happens here. That might not be your kind of thing. That's cool. But here's the difference. It's the difference between I prefer that not to be the case, or boy, that's just wrong and God is judging that. I understand there's a wide range of communication in the Bible. Do you understand that in the Bible there's potty humor? There's potty humor in the Bible. You ought to read it sometime. I read it every day. It's in there. One of my examples is in the book of 1 Kings 18:27. The prophet Elijah is going toe-to-toe with these false gods, these false prophets who are following a false god by the name of Baal. And he starts taunting them because their false god isn't answering their prayers. And he says, well, perhaps he's relieving himself. That's actually not what he says. This is a somewhat accurate translation, but they don't even have the guts to say exactly what he says. Some translations say, well, maybe he's occupied. Other translations say, well, maybe he's deep in thought. Another one that says, maybe he's wandered away. The very clear articulation in the original Hebrew language is talking about stuffed up intestines. He says, maybe your God's taking a dump is what he says in modern vernacular. It's what he says, and we can't even bring ourselves to say that. Here's a huge thing. In the New Testament was written in Greek. It was in the Greek world that the gospel primarily was spreading, and they used classical Greek. Classical Greek is the more refined Greek that you would have in the high literary classics. The writers, inspired by the Holy Spirit, spoke and wrote in Koine Greek, which was street slang. Why? Because if you speak in street slang to the common person, you can start a movement. Highbrow stuff never starts a movement. This was the vernacular that God used, and we try to lean into that today to the point where we don't even know the meaning of real words. I hear things like, well, gosh, there's cursing at crossroads. No, there isn't. No, there isn't. You probably don't even know what a curse is. A curse is not a four-letter word. In the book of James 3:10, it says this, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be. A blessing is when you verbally use your voice to lift somebody up. A curse is when you use your voice to tear somebody down. Churches do this all the time. A curse is when a friend of mine was told by a clergy member, I damn you to hell. That's a curse. A curse is you'll never amount to anything in your life. That's a curse. A curse is God is going to pay you back. That's a curse. A curse is all these kind of judgmental things. That isn't what God is talking about there at all. And yet, in our society, we're so trained to find something that is wrong, to find something that isn't right. We come into things like this, trying to find out what not to be offended at. You shouldn't say that, instead of actually growing and listening. But gosh, Ezekiel 23:20, you can't even find a translation that says what it says. You could find one. It's there. It talks about being hung like a horse in Ezekiel 23:20. That's what the Bible says. And it even says something way more graphic than that. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm telling you, it even embarrasses me. And yet we have this idea that, oh, no, you can't say this, you can't say that. And they're losing our ability to speak normal language to normal people. Now, the Bible does talk about coarse jesting. The Bible does talk about that. And we need to be careful about whatever that is. I'm not even sure what that is. But here's one thing I am sure of. I am sure that we are losing our ability to communicate and being overly critical. We need to speak to normal people, and that's what we do. I saw this again a couple, some time ago, someone on this B stage mentioned that's what she said. And I don't even know what she said. I have no memory of it. And he said, that's what she said, and I don't understand it, but my goodness, whew, many of us were not happy whatever she said. We're not happy at all. And all kinds of emails and this and that came in. And I love the fact that we have high standards. We need to have high standards. That's good. Not enough people in culture have high standards. I just would challenge us that we have the ability to listen and receive truth. What's crazy? That guy said that he had invited 1,000 people to Crossroads and 100 people had come to Christ at Crossroads. Let me say it again. That guy invited 1,000. He blessed with his mouth, 1,000 people were invited. 100 people took him up and their lives are changed. And I'd have a single person talk about that. Not a single solitary person. Oh, he said, she said. Oh, dudes, I tell you, that's weird. That's just weird. And that's part of why the church has lost its voice in society and part of why normal people don't connect. That is different for us. And guess what? God likes it. He likes it. So we talked about being a Jew before. Yeah, you can clap for that. We talked about being a Jew, being strong, in that verse that we had before. We're going to now actually hear from a Jew. His words as a Jew are going to be, I think, powerful and profound for us. He's a friend of mine. He lives in Jerusalem as, you know, an Israeli Jew would. Please welcome my friend, Kalev Myers.
Whatever pleases you will be all.